the gospel comes to us today from the book of Matthew. Glory to you, O Lord. Matthew chapter 21. When Jesus entered the temple, the chief priests and the elders of the people came to him as he was teaching and said, "By what authority are you doing these things, and who gave you this authority?" Jesus said to them, "I will also ask you one question. If you tell me the answer, then I will also tell you by what authority I do these things. Did the baptism of John come from heaven, or was it of human origin?" And they argued with one another, "If we say from heaven, he will say to us, 'Why then did you not believe him?' But if we say of human origin, we are afraid of the crowd, for all regard John as a prophet." So they answered Jesus, "We do not know." He said to them, "Neither will I tell you by what authority I am doing these things. What do you think? A man had two sons. He went to the first and he said, 'Son, go and work in the vineyard today.' He answered, 'I will not.' But later he changed his mind and he went. The father went to the second and said the same. And he answered, 'I will go, sir.' But he did not go. Which of the two did the will of his father?" They said, "The first." Jesus said to them, "Truly I tell you, the tax collectors and the prostitutes are going into the kingdom of God ahead of you. For John came to you in the way of righteousness, and you did not believe him. But the tax collectors and the prostitutes, they believed him. And even after you saw it, you did not change your minds and believe him." The word of the Lord. You may be seated. Grace and peace to you from God, our Father, and his Son, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. This morning, we'll start at the end of the text. Jesus said to them, "I tell you the truth, the tax collectors and the prostitutes are entering the kingdom of God ahead of you. For John came to you to show you the way of righteousness, and you did not believe him." Imagine the audacity. Standing in front of the highest of the high, the heads of the church, the heads of the temple, and you look at them and say, "The tax collectors and the prostitutes are going into heaven before you." Matthew chapter 21. Chapter 21 is the chapter, what Jesus does, what is captured in the 21st chapter of Matthew is, as a couple of my professors back in seminary would say, the moments in which Jesus' death certificate was signed by the high priest. The very beginning of chapter 21 is when Jesus, he has that colt. He's sitting on the colt and he's riding down the hill from Bethany. And then there are the people gathered on the streets and they shout, "Hosanna." Oh my gosh, you guys are rusty, amen? Well, Pastor, we haven't even hit Halloween, Thanksgiving, or Christmas yet. And you're already calling for Palm Sunday. Hosanna. Hosanna in the highest. Chapter 21 starts with Jesus' triumphal entry into Jerusalem. It is Passover week in this text. And Jesus is doing what all faithful Jewish men and women ought to do in their time. He is heading into Jerusalem to go to the temple to celebrate the Passover. Shortly after that, Jesus, he enters into the temple courts, and right on the outside of the courts, the gate, as you were to head on inside into the temple, there are the money-changing booths set up, all the animals set up, and this is this moment, this vision that Jesus sees that absolutely torques him off. So much so that he walks right up to the tables, flips them on over, the money flying all over. He takes his rope off his robe, turns it into a whip, and he starts whipping all the animals and the people out of it. And he declares, "This is my Father's house. It is a place for prayer, and you have turned it into a den of robbers." When you upset the economic system, you sign your death certificate. But a lot of us don't understand exactly what was happening. 4 years ago when I was in Israel, our professor Ezra, he took us to this area right outside of the Temple Mount in which these tables would have been set up. He gave us the background behind what was going on. As I said a moment ago, in Jesus' time, all faithful Jewish men and women, at some point in their life, it was their goal, it was their mandate to have their pilgrimage to Jerusalem for the Passover. If you had the resources, you went often. most could only go maybe just once in a lifetime. They probably set their life savings aside to make the journey. And as they finally get there, as their eyes are finally fixed on Jerusalem, as they walk up towards the temple, the holiest of holies is what they were believing. As they gathered themselves, as they walked up there, they already have spent all of their resources to finally have this moment. And what do they meet? Extortion. For the sake of the Romans, for the sake of King Herod, selling extra indulgences, so to speak, as we called it in the Roman Catholic Church in the Reformation. For the Jews at this time, it was selling the extra offering that's needed for your sins to be forgiven. God in the flesh sees this, and it angers him to the point of flipping the tables and upsetting the apple cart. Shortly after this, Jesus, he walks up onto the stairs of the temple, and there he is gathered. And what does he do? He does what he does best. There he is healing people again. Because the lepers, the blind, they're never going to be allowed in the temple. But he gives them this moment. He gives them this promise. He gives them the ability. He's healing them. And as the people, as the crowds gather and they witness this, they again, as they have always been in the North Country, they are now awestruck. And it even says in Matthew's Gospel that the children are just elated. They are excited. And then the chief priests show up. Jesus enters the temple courts, and while he was teaching, the chief priests and the elders of the people came to him. By what authority, by what jurisdiction are you doing these things, they asked. Oh, dear Jesus, you are just a lay preacher from up north. Yes, we know that you go into the synagogues and you unroll the scrolls. You're just one of those lay preachers. You're not even ordained. You are not one of us, is their argument. But Jesus, who is a rabbi, no, he is not a chief priest, he is not an elder of the temple, though Jesus is a rabbi himself, he responds like all good rabbis do. He responds like all good attorneys do. He answers a question with what? Another question, right? And in Jesus' time, the rabbis functioned as the attorneys. They were the keepers of the law. They were the interpreters of the law. And so they ask, by what authority are you doing this? And Jesus replies, I will also ask you one question. If you answer me, I will tell you by what authority I am doing these things. John's baptism. Let's talk about it. John's baptism, where did it come from? Was it from heaven or from men? Notice what Jesus didn't do. There's no good news in that question. Jesus is not going to give them the gospel in this moment. Instead, he gives them the opportunity to bind them to the law. What do? They scamper off into their corner to debate. And here, we actually have the honesty of the question. They discussed it among themselves, and they said, well, if we say John the Baptist, if we say that his baptisms, his message is from heaven, well, he'll ask them, why didn't you believe him? But if we say that his message, that his baptism is from men. Well, we're afraid of the crowds. And the crowds, they deem him as a prophet. Listen to the honesty of fear in their voices. And their fear is disbelief in practice. If we say it's from heaven, then he's going to say, why don't you believe? Listen to the conviction in that. But if we say it's from man, well, we're afraid of the crowds. And they already regard John as a prophet. They themselves are speaking words of their own doom, so to speak. So they answer Jesus. In fact, it's probably the most honest moment in this part of our text. They answer Jesus, we don't know. Then he said, well, neither will I tell you by what authority I am doing these things. Jesus refuses the power of the gospel in this moment. Let's talk about that baptism. Let's pause there. Let's rewind ourselves by about 3 years. Let's take ourselves back into our biblical knowledge, our stories of John's baptism, because around Advent and Lent, we'll hear it about 4 times throughout the church here. What happened on that fateful day down at the Jordan River? John the Baptist, he was standing knee-deep in the water, and what he was declaring was a baptism of what? Repentance. A baptism of repentance. And it's also down in those waters where John looks at everyone on the hillside, including some of the Pharisees and Sadducees that had also gathered. And he points right at them and he says, "You brood of vipers, how dare you think you can flee the wrath of God that is to come?" John was bold, but John was just another lay preacher from the wilderness. He doesn't have the credentials. He didn't make it through candidacy. He's not ordained. He's not a pastor. So who is this man that's declaring a baptism of repentance? But he also declares that there is one greater than him who he is unfit to even untie his sandal. He is going to bring a baptism of fire and the Holy Spirit. It's down at that baptism on the river in which Jesus also shows up. John's cousin, Jesus, shows up and he says to John, he says, "Dear John, I want you to baptize me." John refuses. He says, I'm not worthy to do this. Jesus, you are sinless. I don't need to baptize you. You don't need to be repented. You don't need the Spirit to come upon you and change your heart. And Jesus says, but you must baptize me. And so John, he acquiesces, and there Jesus goes below the waters, and he comes out of the water, and what happens? We know the story. The heavens are torn open. The Spirit descends upon him as a dove, and we hear God the Father boom out as loud as can be, "This is my Son, the Beloved." Down at the river is where the Holy Trinity comes into full effect for all to see. We have the heavens torn open, the voice, "This is my Son, the Beloved." The Spirit descends upon him. We have God the Father, God the Spirit, and God the Son all right here in this moment. And fast forward 3 years, Jesus looks at the chief priests and he says, "Tell me about that day. Why didn't you believe?" The repentance John was talking about, all throughout Scripture, whenever we hear the word repentance, it's in the passive tense. It's in the passive tense in Greek. It means that you are repented. None of us has the ability to turn ourselves into the righteousness that God requires. No matter what, no matter how many times you're going to leave this worship space, head home and say, "Honey, I'm going to do better today. I'm going to do better. I'm going to give more money to the church. I'm going to stop with the swear words. I'm going to go into my boss and I'm going to speak some truth. We're going to negotiate. We're going to come up with more honest, ethical business transactions. Today is a new day." And every time we do that, the devil seeps in and usurps our ability to be righteous. And John knew that. And Jesus is declaring that what happens in that moment is the Holy Spirit coming upon all those who observe to finally see that they are being repented by God. But the chief priests didn't believe it. Jesus declares it. The prostitutes went to the river because in their hearts they needed some change in their life. The tax collectors, you know, the scoundrels from every community, they went to the river because they wanted to hear and see something of hope. In Mark's gospel, we even hear that the soldiers go down to the river and there they ask John, "What is it that we shall do? You're calling for this repentance. I feel the Spirit changing my heart. What is it that I am to do?" But the chief priests and the elders all stood off to the side and they refused to believe. So Jesus gives them a parable. They've already declared, they've come out of their corner, they've said, "Jesus, we don't know the answer to your question." And so he gives them a parable. And as we've learned throughout the year, parables in Matthew's gospel are these moments in which Jesus uses to share who's elected, who God has bestowed God's promise upon. He says this, he tells them, "What do you think? There was a man who had two sons. He went to the first and said, 'Son, go to work today in the vineyard.' And the son boldly says, 'I will not, Father.' But later he changed his mind. He was repented. He was convicted. Whether you want to call it feeling guilty, whatever you want to call it, he changed and he went out to the vineyard. Then the father went to the other son, and he said the same thing. He answered, "Well, I will do it, sir," but he did not go. "I'll go to church this week, sir. I'll read my Bible every day, sir. I will master the art of my Christian faith, sir. But when you call me to the vineyard, I will not go. For John came to you to show the way of righteousness, and you did not believe him. I tell you the truth, the tax collectors, those prostitutes, they are entering the kingdom of God ahead of you." Brothers and sisters in Christ, many of us sitting here today still think we have the capacity to sit at the steps of the temple and ask others, "By whose authority do you think you get to declare the gospel?" Martin Luther guides us in our liturgy. "Dear Lord, forgive me for all of my sins, both known and unknown to me." We do not have the capacity, as Dr. Steve Paulson would say, we are not capable of changing our own minds in order to be righteous in front of God. What it takes is those moments down at the river. What it takes is the promises that these parents are making for Hudson and Isla this morning. What it takes is that moment where we too gather at the waters and we hear that you are a child of God. And when we profess those words, when we give that promise, we also firmly believe that the Spirit dwells within us. Christ dwells within us, and because Christ dwells within us, we can believe. As Martin Luther says in the Apostles' Creed, he says, "I cannot by my own capacity believe that I am a forgiven person, but it is the Holy Spirit, and I trust that it is the Holy Spirit that allows me to believe." So as we gather at the temple, as we gather in the church, what matters most is to rest assured that Christ does all of this work for us. We are rest assured that as he was having his proverbial death certificate signed in that week, he was doing it with purpose. He was fulfilling all of Scripture. He was in Jerusalem to give hope. He was in Jerusalem to call into question the authorities that think they've got it figured out. He was in Jerusalem to go to the cross for each and every one of us. And he walks out of that tomb 3 days later to seal the deal. Thanks be to God. Amen.